UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
All right, we're back. I'll tell you about Drew's Keys on the other side, but they're getting ready to go to the post. Let's take a listen. Here is the V Stakes. The picks are 2 Glinda, 5 Graveyard Shift, 6 Too Much Drama, and the rest are in the field. Good luck. Here we go. Oh, and we missed it.
That's when I had a bad feeling. That's when you went to SportsCenter. I didn't think I could pause it. I tried to pause it, but I could not. So we got issues.
I'm waiting for the replay. I'm trying to see if I can rewind a little something here.
I don't think you can. Oh, man. I'm sad about that. Very sad about that.
Well, that wasn't what we were looking for. There you go.
Number 4, Haley's Way was second. Number 2, Glinda was third. Number 6, Too Much Drama was fourth. It's 1-4-2-6.
All right, well, at least we got your results.
Number 1 was the 16-1 shot, the second longest shot in the field. The 4 short-priced horses that we talked about did not get up in time. What a great! It's a shame, of course, that when we didn't actually play it, that we
that was a photo.
Oh, it was a great
finish. Yeah, no, I just saw the tail end of it.
The stretch run was terrific. Then I don't think you can play the replay because they play the replay, they won't have the race call. I don't think so. We made a cluster buck out of that. That's not.
There's a bigger war to be waged.
I'm happy about that, to be quite honest with you. But that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done a Sports Center. I was trying to pad because there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes here. So,
Dawn is the hero. Dawn found the keys in the garbage. And it is a key ring that has, it's one of the remote keys, so it costs about $300 to replace that. It had his new earbuds, which were like $150. It had the remote control for the garage that, if you wanted to replace, was like $150. So it was a $600.
It's basically cost an. It was
like a $600,
like an iPhone.
Toss in the trash. Wow, will this ship sail? Paid $34.60, and Haley's Way, the horse that was also part of the field, but actually by post time went off as the favorite, finished second. Glinda was third. So if you had the field bet, congratulations to you. We will draw one of the many names that suggested the field, and we will pick one of those names and get a winner. Not the ones that just came in now, because you obviously knew the race was already over.
That's cheating.
Yeah. But anyway, as someone who loses things all the time, a tactic I like to use to find things, check a location very thoroughly, and then do not check the location again because it's not there. How does that get thrown away? I don't know. You know, listen, you got the wrong guy if you're going to think I'm going to get self-righteous about losing stuff, because I've lost things in the most ridiculous, preposterously absurd ways.
You ever lose something in the fridge? I've done that plenty of times. You haven't?
You put something in the fridge that was not food related?
Yeah, like you have your phone or something, and you open the fridge, and you're like, "Ooh, I got to get the milk or something." You put your phone down. Usually, I put it in the butter thing, and then I get the milk, and then
Wow.
Petty Ice is smiling. He's done it too, I'm sure.
So, but he found him. She found him. She's a hero. We all gave her a standing ovation because she was in there digging in the trash. That's a woman who's got kids. You can tell a woman who's got kids because they're willing to get their hands.
She sewed my pants. She's been gluing stuff all over the place.
For those of you who live have lived with other guys will appreciate this. The toilet paper dispenser came off the wall in the bathroom, and guys don't care. They you know, it's you know how they work. You screw the thing, the bracket into the wall, and then you like clip the dispenser on top of it. And in time, especially with guys who just beat the crap out of it, gets loose and it fell down. And so guys would put it back on. And the next guy would knock it down, just leave it on the floor. You don't give a damn. So the guys would just take the paper and just leave it on the floor, leave it. The guys live like bears with furniture. I mean, it's disgusting. So she took super glue and put the whole thing back up there. So that's impressive. So she is the office. Does he describe it? All right, let's take a listen. This was a very interesting race.
Juliet, graveyard shift, angles over, looks to run on down inside from fifth. At the back of the pack, the critter is Haley's Way. So will this ship sail? Goes to the far turn and opens up a 2.5 length lead. Graveyard shift. Now on the inside, moving to pick up the chase. Second, Glinda has dropped back to third. No advance right now from the 3-wide, too much drama. And then it's Haley's Way, and our Juliet has dropped back last. He gets 16-1 on Will This Ship Sail. And Will This Ship Sail comes off the turn with a 3-length lead. Graveyard shift, try to sustain that bit at the inside. On the outside, Glinda and too much drama. They're still trying to get to the gray. Will This Ship Sail? Clear lead with a 16 to go. Here comes Haley's Way. Late charge at the inside. Will this ship sail? Haley's Way. Will this ship sail? Yes. Will this ship sail? Held on to win it.
It was really close. You can pot it down now because we already gave the results. But 16-1. And what's interesting, my experience is if you're at the racetrack and the horses are white or gray, they get over bet. Because the people who don't know anything about horse racing like to bet them because they're pretty. I'm sorry to be sexist, but women love to bet the gray horses. They just do. That's just the truth. That's, oh, look how pretty. Let's bet that one. So if this horse was 16-1 and it weren't a white gray horse, my guess is I said this horse has no chance because he probably should be like 20-1. But he was good. Got to the front and held on. And it was a good stretch ride. You can hear it in his voice. And got very close at the end, but not close enough. So you've got the field. We will send you the winner will get a text from us here. We haven't drawn the winner yet, but I appreciate all you guys. We do this because people say if you don't like it, you're never going to do any radio show. That's why TV it behaves like it does, because they act like a very insecure guy on a date. That's what I've said before. It drives me nuts about television. They're talking about one thing, but if you don't like that, look over here on the side. Look what we're going to do next. Give us 2 minutes. Look what's coming up. And if you don't like that, look at the bottom. We got scores scrolling over here. And in the corner, we got little blurbs going, that guy just got fired. That guy just got fired. Wait, you don't like that? Wait, watch.
There's a sun with a face.
I can juggle. Look at this. Wait, if you don't like juggling, watch. I'll say
here's the time. Here's the traffic. Here's the weather.
It's coming.
Here's the stocks.
It's coming. Just don't leave, please. Dear God, don't leave. Radio doesn't have the luxury. You play one thing. So I've come to terms with the fact you're not going to like everything that happens. And so some people may not like that, but we do it because I'm telling you, every time we do, we get a gaggle of texts from people. It's just fun. You play, you listen for your horse on the radio. That's why I was mad we didn't get to hear the race because he's a pretty good track announcer, that guy, besides. And it wound up being a very close race. So one of you will get a text from us that you've won. You'll get some Empire Electron merchandise, and I think you'll be proud to display it.
We can talk a little bit of some Governor's Cup here. But I want to get we played it during lock show. Might as well play it for you as well. Did you hear Booger McFarland's comments after a while last night?
Ennis is saying enough already. The guy said he was wrong. So did he admit he was wrong? Is that what it was?
Okay. He kind of pulled lock. But maybe he had the grounds to pull a lock. Let's see. I'll let you take a listen. This was him on SVP last night.
I think this was his national coming out party, standalone game, his first time on Monday Night Football. So everyone that hadn't had a chance to see what Lamar Jackson is, how much he's improved. I think, Scotty, that's the remarkable thing. You know, I go back to 2018 at the end of the season against the Los Angeles Chargers, and he had completed three passes through three quarters. I mean, that's unheard of. But for him to go into the offseason, to look himself in the mirror and say, I let my guys down and I'm going to get better. And the improvement he made from that night until now. You know, a buddy of mine said, you know, you're allowed to change your opinion when you get new information. Right. So, Scotty, I got new information throughout the season, and it was confirmed tonight. So I changed my opinion. I'm on the record. I am a believer because what I saw tonight was not a running quarterback. I didn't see a running back. I didn't see a wide receiver. I saw a quarterback. I saw an offense built around a guy that is as special of a weapon as we've ever seen in this league. I saw him make throws like Aaron Rodgers. I saw him make runs like Michael Vick. Dare I say, I saw the new NFL, the same NFL that John Harbaugh said we were going to see. They said they're going to change the NFL, Scott. And I think America saw what the changing of the guard looks like when you get a mobile quarterback that's as explosive as he is and that can be as accurate as he was tonight. And, oh, by the way, the physical brand of football which this team plays, and I haven't even gotten to the Ravens defense that made Jared Goff look, dare I say, unworthy to be on the field. It's amazing what the Ravens have become, and they are going to be one hell of an out come January.
Listen, he doesn't play on defense, Lamar, okay? I mean, and they held him to, what, six? That what they give up? Was it six or three? What'd they win? They won 9,000 to three or six or something. What was the final score?
40. It was 46 to three, I think.
They only gave up 3 points or 6 points?
Might have been six. I mean, I'm pulling it up
whatever.
Right now.
The fact of the matter is their defense is very good.
It's drawing a blank.
And they deserve credit for that. You know,
45 to six. There we go.
They gave up 6 points. They deserve great credit. It's a good football team, and for that reason, they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. There is still definitely people, when you go out on a limb, if you're in the public light, we had a guy, I'll never forget this. I've told this story before because it really hurts me, but well, it hurt me at the time, but I get it. My first year, I took over a team that was 2-26 at St. Francis, New York. And I've said many times, one of the best coaching jobs I think we ever did was to get to 7 wins with that team. I got the job in August. We didn't even have time to recruit. So we took, and we lost a 15-point a game scorer. And so the leading scorer and leading rebounder. And we went from 2 wins to 7 wins. So I was really proud of those kids. But, you know, we parlayed that. The people were talking about, hey, they're much better. And we got a good recruiting class. And this guy who did, he used to write for Street and Smith, and he lived in Albany, New York, because at the time he started writing for Street and Smith, Siena was in our league, and they took a guy who covered one of the local teams to write about the conference. So he wrote about our conference, but I don't think he'd seen a conference game of ours. He may not have come to a game all year, literally. I'm not talking about just my team, my whole league. So we were very young the next year again, and we only won 9 games, and we were hoping, obviously, if you went from 2 to 7, we were hoping to, you know, maybe get close to a winning season, and obviously we didn't come close with 9 wins. Well, he was out on a limb the year before saying what a great year, recruiting, and blah, 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 and we didn't live up to expectations for the rest of the time in the league, no matter what I did, and we did. He just loved to take shots at us, which was intriguing. He just would go through stats. I mean, sorry, Locke, but a little bit Locke-ish, where he decided he was not a fan of ours, and then he'd go cherry-pick stats that would show, see, they're not that good at this or that good at that. And I was like, wow, you know why? Because he was embarrassed that he said the year before he thought we were going to really be good. And so that's, well, this is, I still sense a little of that in Lamar. Like, I'm looking at the, I mean, listen, the Ravens defense needs, deserves accolades, okay? Great. But the fact of the matter is, if you do a type in just a quick Lamar Jackson under Google, the first things that come up is Lamar Jackson is the MVP, but he's not why the Ravens are Super Bowl caliber. Stephen A. comes out. Stephen A. said he's great, but he's not the best quarterback in the league. Why do they feel compelled to qualify compliments? And Booger does that too a little bit. I mean, you know, it was a little bit of, well, last year you know why he ripped him for not going far in the playoffs? Because it was a chance for him to have vindications. It was a chance for him to be vindicated. See, I told you this guy's not going to be able to play in this league. So it's the same. All kidding aside, it's my same argument with Locke about Tiger. Tiger's great. He's great. He's great. He's great. It's a fluke. He's lucky. It's a fluke. He's lucky. He has a bad tournament. See, he sucks. I told you he sucked. Well, of course, if you keep betting that he's going to fail, eventually he's going to fail, and then you can say, I told you so. Well, Booger played that card last year, and I think it was unfair. This was a very, very young quarterback on a team that was not built to be to act, you know, account for his skill. He took over on the fly, and the fact that he put a winning streak together and even got them into the playoffs – That's how you should gauge the body of work. But if you want to find reason to find fault, you say, oh, well, he wasn't that good in the playoffs. See, I told you so. Well, now he looks like an idiot if he doesn't acknowledge, I told you so. So he does the, you know, the data changed. And listen, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with changing your opinion. But even his saying last year about, see, in the tournament, I told you, I don't think his losing in the playoff was any indication that, see, you were right. Oh, it was the offseason, things changed. No, it wasn't. He was a rookie quarterback. He didn't even have one full year of experience under his belt. If he had been a traditional rookie quarterback that went through that, you'd say, oh, well, see, he's young. He's got to learn. He's going to get better. But because you were so far out on a limb that he's not going to be able to play, you use that as justification for your bizarre take. And that bothers me. Just say, I don't think – listen, I've said this before. You know how ridiculous this sounds? I mean, in hindsight, think about this. And I own up to it because if I'm going to be truthful, I got to tell you I'm an example of that. I don't find fault with it. It's what we do. We're just talking. I didn't think Chris Mullin was going to make it at St. John's. He not only made it at St. John's, he plays in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great players in the history of the NBA. It was just wrong. He was not very fast. He doesn't really take a traditional jump shot. He wasn't a great rebounder. I was like, you know, now you're going to play against athletes, he's going to be exposed. Yeah, he was exposed. He was exposed as a very smart player who could make everything he looked at, and he just dominated the game. I mean, so I was wrong. There you go. Good. And he's a nice guy. He's been great to me. So I'm happy for him. And I mean, even if you heard it, I don't think you'd take it personally. It was just my opinion for what I looked at. I was wrong. I didn't qualify it. Oh, you know what? The data changed. I was right. He did suck. But all of a sudden, he ate kryptonite or something. And it. I mean, stop.
He then he unsucked.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Just you made an opinion. You were wrong. It's not that big a freaking deal. It's not like you impacted the economy of the country with your cockamamie take. It's just you were wrong. Okay, that's what they pay you for. Take a stand. You took a stand. I don't go on here. I resent when the thought of what we do is you have to have a take. You know, you don't have to have a take on everything. Heads or tails, have a take. You'd say it's ridiculous. Okay, well, there's some things like that when I look at sports. I don't have a strong take on that. I give you my observation, what I think the key will be, or blah, blah, blah. But that's what you want to do. You got to have a take. And if the more cockamamie the take, the more people follow you and get clicks and people acknowledge that. And if that's what you got to do here, then I don't want to do that. So that's fine. If you like that, then that's plenty of shows to appease you. But that's not what this is about. And so that's my whole argument, is when you're forced to have a take. But if you have a take, you shouldn't run away from it. Give you the opinion. And then if you're right, you can say, well, I was, you know, see, I told you that I thought this was going to happen. And if it doesn't, then you have to look at this and say, okay, well, I was wrong about that. So it's unbelievable. I don't know if that guy dislikes me. I have to ask him what his name is so I can call him by name again. We'll watch him disappear like the rodent that he is. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a situation where you don't have to take a take on anything, but if you have a take, that's my opinion. You can't go on and have no opinion, obviously, but my point is when they ask you to force an opinion in something, somebody texted me, it's all about clicks and follows. Yeah, well, that's to some degree that's true, and I think it's a shame because you don't really – like I've said this before, you know, if you like what I do or don't like what I do or like what Raf does or don't like what he does, nobody can dispute. That's your matter of taste. But I can tell you why I do it the way I do it. To me, it doesn't make sense to me to go on there and just tell you that everything Louisville does is seashells and balloons, because how do you know then when they're really playing well? How do you know? How do you know the room is warm unless you know it's cold? How do you know something is up unless you know down? Well, how do you know they're playing well if they don't have to play, if they're not playing well? So I go on. I'm not, there's a difference. You don't have to do it gleefully. Let me tell you, this team is sucking. I mean, okay, well, that guy would probably annoy you. But if you say, boy, they're really struggling today, and here's why. They're forcing shots. They're hunting shots. The spacing's bad. The timing's bad. They're getting lazy on defense. Okay, fine. It's not like I'm taking pot shots at them, trying to tell you why they aren't playing as well as they played. Well, it's the same thing with this. You give an opinion. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I knew the guy was going to be great in the NFL, but I thought they were shortchanging him. I remember saying that at the time. It's just like, let the guy have a chance to, you know, again, what? Go ahead, say it with me. Let the cake bake. Let him play a little bit before you decide he can't play. And now you've not only found out he can play, he's as good as any player in the league. And a texter makes a great point about this. Look, you've got to take a look at the simple fact that he's tremendously, tremendously entertaining. It is still entertainment after all. You know, this the texter says, sorry I missed the first part of the show today, but my observation regarding Lamar is besides being a once-in-a-lifetime athlete and football player, he's making the game fun. I've made that point on shows in the past. As fans, God bless Chuck Wilson. He was a decent guy who I hosted shows with at ESPN for a long time. And he absolutely, I quote him all the time on this because he was spot on. People do not resent the amount of money that athletes make. They really don't. That's what you'll hear other people say that, oh, see, he's getting criticized. No, that's not really what they resent. It's the same thing. I've talked about this on the show before. You've heard me use the example. They made $1 million for every episode of Friends. Every cast member got $1 million for every 22-minute episode of Friends the last year they did it. Is there anybody that looked at that and said, well, I'm not watching that show. These guys are getting $1 million each for 22 minutes of work. Forget that. I'm not doing that. No, you watch. Why did you watch it? Because you thought it was entertaining. If you watched it, thought it was funny or entertaining or whatever, that, so you watched it. Well, it's the same thing with sports. The fans do not resent the amount of money. They understand. They're not stupid. The business they paid, Friends actors were paid what they were paid because the network was able to sell the advertising spots for the show so they can make money. Well, it's the same thing with sports that, you know, you pay these guys what the market says they could get, and that's fine. What they don't like is when they think that the players don't care as much about the game as they do. That drives them crazy. And they don't have the same enthusiasm for the game as they do. That drives them even more crazy. And so it's absolutely, and he's absolutely right about that. You know, I said, Chuck, you absolutely nailed it. And so I like to think that the corollary to that is the guys that we love are the guys that are playing well, and you watch them and you go, man, oh man, this guy has the same enthusiasm for the game that I have to watch it. I'm taking my money to pay to watch it, taking my time to be part of this. I'm paying to be part of this. They're paying you millions to be part of this, and you look like you don't even care. Well, this guy's the exact opposite. He is having a ball out there. His teammates love him. You know, he appreciates the game. He's playing with a great zeal and enthusiasm. And those are the guys that connect with the fans. They absolutely do. You know, I mean, Phil Mickelson has done that. He can be exasperating at times for the, you know, like Jamie says, he's either you pick up the leaderboard, you know, take a look on the website. And on Friday, after two rounds, he's either going to be like, you know, five under par, you know, in the top front page of the leaderboard, or he's going to be, you know, just may make the cut, may not make the cut, who knows. And if he barely makes the cut, the last two rounds, he's just kind of playing, you know, he's kind of mercurial. And there's a part of you that would say maybe that would, you don't like that because, you know, say, geez, you know, the great thing about Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, is they said that never played an indifferent shot in their lives. So we respect that. Phil, I'll be honest with you, I think sometimes he plays indifferent shots. But why do we love him? Because when he's in the moment, he loves it. He's still playing with a great enthusiasm for the game. He still does, and he connects with the fans, and you know, he does the event in Phoenix with he's throwing footballs to people, and you like that. So you're all willing to overlook the fact that maybe he's, you know, not played every shot with a passion. But then there's other guys who don't have that personality, but you say, my God, this guy, I mean, like Dwayne Sutton, he doesn't have a good personality, but as a fan, that's a perfect example. I mean, that son of a gun just plays his ass off. And as a fan, you just love it. You just love it. He is just like looking at the game, and you can see little gears turning. What does the game need me to do now? Get a loose ball, get a rebound, take a shot, do a drive, guard that guy, go for a strip, block a shot, fill the lane. What do you want me to do? Pick up the towels? Tell me. What do you want me to do? You love that. You love that. And that's and he's got that. And so, you know, I think that when you take a look at the popularity, the enthusiasm of the players, I think comes through, and he brings a great zeal for the game, so he's great. Maybe tomorrow, Yeah, do tomorrow because we'll get closer to the football game. We'll preview the game. We'll take our last break of the hour, and then we will come back and do some sound for the football game. But, Booger wasn't bad. But let's you know, now you're looking at, I don't want to pick nits, you know, so he kind of stepped up and said I was wrong. But I did find it interesting he had to remind us, though, that no, I was right the first time. The reason it's not now is because he's not the same. No, you were wrong is what you were. You were wrong. It was part of the development of a young player. You were wrong. That's all. Not that hard. Not anti-Booger. Not he's a communist spy. He's not trying to sell secrets to the Russians. He's not influencing elections. He just was wrong. Fine. Let's go on. But he was wrong. That's the reality. We'll come back. ESPN 680-1057.
Every kid at one point or another gets asked the same question. What do you want to be when you grow up? At a young age, most people figure the answers don't really mean much of anything, particularly when they suggest the near impossible.
That's awesome. And I don't want to be sexist here, so if there should be some women we should put on the list, I'll be happy to do it. But this is going to be our next Friday poll, no question. Leif Schreiber and John Facenda and Edward Herman and Peter Coyote and Sam. What's his name? Sam.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, thank you.
And what was the.
What was the what?
The guy who did the Ken Burns thing. The Civil War.
David McCullough. So we got six. We need eight. There are not really. This may be sexist, but you can't think of really any females that have. I'm going to do a Google search.
Who did the planet Earth? That was a good one.
I thought.
I meant like the Discovery Channel Planet Earth.
Oh.
Oh, we also Morgan Freeman was up there.
Morgan Freeman and James Earl Jones.
Oh yeah, that's good.
I mean, so we might have eight already. Let's see. That's actually funny. Everyone asshat we have. We have 1,000 really good, funny, clever texters. Need to cut a new Neil Huffman commercial. The Acura TLX impresses me with its garbage-resistant keys. Oh,
that was
man.
Strong work out of Don.
I don't know. Female narrators. Tavia Gilbert received the 2017 Best Female Narrator Award. Should we try and hear her voice? Never heard of her. Tavia Gilbert, T-A-V-I-A. Female documentary narration samples. I mean, I don't want to do that just for the sake of being, you know, putting a woman on the list, but I also don't want to exclude them. But, there's not a lot of women's voices that you would recognize, I don't think. Like, you know Peter Herman the minute you hear him. You know Sam Elliott the minute you hear him. You know James
Earl Jones. Have you ever watched anything on the History Channel or anything, any HBO documentary or anything? Any documentary. There's a couple guys that immediately come to mind. I'm trying to find I don't know why, by the way. I've had more trouble finding blanking voiceover things. Ent sent me something. I can't find anything on Tavia Gilbert. The only reason I was able to get Leif Schreiber was because there was a hockey link I knew of. Very, very, very frustrating stuff. But I'll see if I can. Maybe we can play a little bit of that tomorrow. There's a clip that we played a little earlier today.
Barbara Walters, somebody said. It's not a bad idea.
That's not awful.
You probably recognize her voice. That's
She's done a few.
All right, anyway.
We played a Mark Stoops soundbite earlier and got your thoughts on that. I wanted to play, go to the red side a little bit here and talk, play a clip here from Scott Satterfield. The story is that Louisville's offense is much better than Kentucky's, mostly because there's only, I think, three schools that have worse offensive numbers than Kentucky. Even though Wynn Bowden's running all over the field. In terms of passing, there's only three schools that are worse, and I think two of them are the triple option. But Louisville's defense has struggled. And Scott Satterfield address that, maybe talking about how they can make some last-minute improvements.
I don't think you're going to make a ton of improvement between, you know, in a course of a week. We have to just do some things as coaches. What can we do to help our guys and put them in better positions to make plays? We better be where we need to be as far as gap integrity versus these guys. They'll certainly make you pay if you don't. They're going to put pressure on you. You know, obviously we got to have everybody available there to make tackles around the running game. What that's going to do is put obviously more pressure on our outside guys, because you're probably going to be a little more one-on-one matchups on the outside just because you're trying to defend the run. But it comes back to, you know, fundamentally, sinking your hips and wrapping up and holding on tight, you know, until the other guys can get there to get these guys down. So we'll emphasize it again this week, and, you know, hopefully the guys will do a better job when we come out on Saturday.
The one play, there's like that screen pass late where I seemingly had the guy trapped, and then that was the only play all year I've looked at and said that didn't look like it had the kind of effort they needed. I didn't understand that. The guy, one of the defenders, I'm not trying to protect him, I just don't remember which one it was, kind of just ran right by him. That was strange. Their defense.
I saw a lot of that last year, but not this year. Yeah, there's been
really
a lot.
Shocking to me. He just kind of ran right by him, and I was like, not sure about that. But listen, it's one of those things that at this point in the season, you kind of are who you are. Their defense is not great. They are much better than they were last year, and I'm not being snarky when I say that's not, that's not saying a whole lot because they were so poor last year. But they are, and I think he knows who they are. They're going to have to try and win by outscoring you. And so he's determined they're going to put a lot of points on the board and hope they can get a couple of timely stops somewhere in the course of the game. And
is it going to be like an arena football game where it literally comes down to a game of defensive stops? Like there's like three defensive stops in the game? And you could almost put those as scores, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, almost like tennis, breaking serve.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I don't think, I don't think it'll be quite that way, but I do believe if the weather's not so atrocious that nobody can handle a ball or nobody has footing or anything like that, I think that if I were to bet, I would bet the over. Yes, I would. But, I think that, again, it's the offense is very good, and it's not just good relative to last year. It's just very, very good. But did they break a backboard? Oh, what happened over here? This is something. Something's going on in this game. He dunks, and what does he do? He did something to the rim.
I think he just missed.
They brought the truck out. He broke the rim. He definitely did something because they have the ladder. See, look. They got the ladder up there, and they're fixing something. Nothing more exciting in a basketball game than basket repair. Oh, that's excitement. And make it even better, if it's anything even more exciting than watching it on television, it's broadcasting it on radio.
Yeah.
But that's what's going on. Where is that? It's in Maui.
The Maui Invitational?
Well, I hate to say it. They have good equipment, but you're liable
Michigan State.
You're liable to see it more in these preseason kind of gym games because when we played in the Bahamas – I mean, it was not a humongous thing, but we won. We were rebuilding, and we won the tournament, and so we wanted to cut a net down to bring back as a souvenir. And the guy from the gym came and said, "No," he said, "he wouldn't let us do it." I said, "Come on," he said, "No, these are not your nets." And I was like, "But well, I'll send you 10 nets when I get back home. We just want to keep one as a souvenir." No, you can't. I almost got it. One of the players said, "Like, just forget it, coach. Let it go." I was like, "No, it's $4 net. Let me just take it as a souvenir." No, you cannot have on that. I was like, I'm not sure why he spoke like he was from Eastern Europe, but
I was going to say, you cannot do a Bahamian accent.
No, that was bizarre. Well, you know what's not bizarre? That if you go to Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, two things will happen. A, you'll be better, you'll be well, and B, you'll lose weight. That's why it's called Wellness and Weight Loss. It's a company that puts a program together just for you, and it makes it so
How are you shouting?
Because I felt like it. That's
No, it's okay. You're vital. Like, yeah, you're feeling vivacious.
I was enthused. Plus, I know you're going to play the music on because you don't care.
Care.
I also want to give people, great female narrators. Well, I'm going to keep talking because I'm given the spot. Maya Angelou is great. Oprah, very good. So there have been some female, Barbara Walters, as we heard, there have been some female narrators. We'll put them on the list. Mike Rowe's getting a lot of love, by the way. Mike Rowe's gotten about five people.
He was an opera singer.
Mike Rowe was an opera singer?
Yep.
We are getting a flying start to We Want to Know Wednesday.
Yes.
And what I what you want to know about your health is that you should go to Vitality if you are somebody that needs to lose weight and you will be healthier, because they put a program together that's tailor-made just for you. They break down your body's components, the nutrients, the minerals that you need, and they will put a program together that makes you healthier. And it's not only you lose weight, but you'll feel better. It's nice that you look better, but most importantly, you'll be healthier. So check them out. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. It is a way to change the way you live. It's not a diet that you survive. It's a way to change the way you live and make you healthier, look better, and feel better at Vitality. Locations in southern Indiana and right off of Bardstown Road as well. Tell them we sent you. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. See you tomorrow.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.